How's everybody doing today? We are back for another episode of Sit Down with Sniper. And today we have my amazing friend and an amazing photographer. He does more than photography, but he's just a great guy overall. His name is David Lawrence. David, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. I just looked out the window and there are two cats that show up to my house every day to be fed. And one of them just sneakily walked by the window and that brought me some joy. And it's just a beautiful day. So yeah, man, I'm doing pretty good, all things considered.
Hell yeah, man. I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's been some time. I've been trying to get David on here for a while. I have been slacking on my end, but we finally got him on here. Now, David is an amazing photographer, and I don't want to get it wrong, David, what all you do. So I'm actually going to give the floor to you and let you describe it. So please let everyone listening know what exactly it is that you do, man.
Yeah, so my name is David Lawrence. I am a portrait photographer primarily from Orlando, Florida. I started photography professionally in 2013. First picked up a camera in 2011, I think. It was an analog film camera that my cousin gifted me and just started shooting images, started photographing my friends, started photographing my roommates. One of my roommates got engaged and I did his engagement photos. And then they hired me to do his wedding, and him and his fiance hired me to do their wedding. And then I just kept photographing friends' weddings. And then eventually discovered portrait photography. And I say discovered because I was really entrenched in the wedding photography industry, thought I was going to be like a lifelong wedding photographer. And then I came across this photographer named Jenny James, who lives in Seattle, and I saw that she was photographing people on just a simple backdrop with a simple paper backdrop with a light. And the photos were really simple, and they weren't outside, they weren't weddings, they weren't like very complicated. It was literally just a subject on a piece of paper, and I had never seen anything like that. It kind of blew my mind, to be honest. And so I ended up working with her. She photographed my wife and I at the time and just did portraits of us. And she showed me like her paper backdrop in her studio and like her lighting setup. And this is probably like 5 or 6 years into doing photography, maybe 5 years. And I just knew that that's what I was going to do. So I went home and set up a backdrop in my garage, like literally opened up the garage door and just used the natural light. A photographer friend of mine was randomly giving away some paper rolls. I found a light stand and backdrop stand on Craigslist for like $80 from some photographer who was retiring, and just literally set up a little studio in my garage and just started photographing neighbors, friends, my wife, anyone who would sit for a photo. And it kind of just went from there.
Okay, so it kind of just all clicked for one is what I'm hearing. It's really crazy to know that it was in 2011, 2013 when all this started. You're talking about a studio then, and I, knowing you now, I actually just saw that you just got your own first studio. One, congratulations on that. Two, what does it feel like to go from your basement to now your own studio? You know what I'm saying? You get to do all this, you're professional. Now you look even more professional with your own building. The building is coming along great. I've been seeing you post pictures. They look amazing. So tell me, man, how does it feel to go from your basement? I mean, not basement, your garage, doing all that at home to now your studio?
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I honestly really didn't even think about that till now. Like, in normal life, I'm sure you can relate with this. Like maybe you'll have memories with family. Like, you'll sit down with your mom or your dad or a cousin or some relative, and they will bring up a story of when you were young. Like, I think that's pretty normal. But at the same time, you don't have those conversations every day. So sometimes you just forget about things, even though technically it's ingrained in you. So, I don't think I'd really thought about it a lot until now. It's a wild feeling. Something I've been realizing lately is that I tend to disconnect from feelings in regards to my achievements sometimes. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's like growing up like poor or like not having a lot when I was a kid or like what, I don't know. But to answer how it feels, if I look at that first, cause I can still picture, the garage and I have a picture of it. It's really surreal and wild. It feels like a dream come true. I think it feels like, in a lot of ways, like I've made it. Like you see these photos of like Jeff Bezos, like in his garage, or like Steve Jobs, like, and you kind of laugh at those things because you're like, oh, that's like a silly little fairy tale. But I'm also like, yo, like people literally started out in their garages. Like I had a client come to my garage and like propped open the door, like the garage door, and people were like outside mowing the lawn, like while I was like, look to your left, look to your right. Like, I don't know. That's crazy. Like it's wild. So yeah, it feels really good, but I think in a lot of ways it doesn't feel real. Like I've done the thing that a lot of people try and spend their whole lives trying to do. And that's a little scary. Like, cause I don't know that we always believe that our dreams are achievable or possible. And some people never get to the reality of seeing things come to fruition. Yeah, it's just wild. I don't know. I could keep rambling.
No, you're good, man. I mean, so, and we're going to go deeper, but what we're on right now, I have so many different questions. So now that you have the studio, man, and like you say, some people work very hard, work a long time to reach that point. Some never get it. Some do, some earlier than others. Do you have a goal beyond this studio now? Like, do you want a bigger studio? Do you want two studios? Yeah. Or like, what is the goal after the studio now? Because you've reached this goal that you once had. Now, what's next for David as a photographer?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I think that, I don't know. It's like, I was thinking about that yesterday because it's still insane. Like, because there's this part, I don't know. I realized how discontent we are as humans, at least I think, in a lot of ways, when I got married in my early 20s. And that was something that I thought that I really wanted. And then I got it and I was like, oh shit, like, I don't think I actually want this. Like, I'm in my 20s, like, I want to go out and like, just sow my oats, like metaphorically speaking, if you will, maybe literally too, but like it was like a grass is greener type of thing. Like, and that was the first time where I had some big thing happen in my life that was like life altering. And then I was like, oh shit, I don't know if I want this. And that scared me because we ended up like getting a divorce, like almost like a decade later or something like that. But I bring that up because that made me realize how like discontent we can become with the things that we really think we value or want. And so I'm very mindful of that. I'm not perfect at being like content with what I have or sitting with these things, but I'm aware of like how fickle we can be as humans with what we want or what we think we want. And yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday because I've very quickly filled this place up with stuff and got it all set up mostly how I want to. And then I was like, well, what's going to be the next thing? Like, I'm in an office building currently. I was like, I think eventually I'd like to try and buy my own building. I was like, maybe I could buy this whole building. And I was like, what? Like, again, not there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, I don't know. I think a future goal is to like, yeah, have my own like studio space that's like an actual like production center where like people can like drive cars into it or like we can do like full like movie sets. But I also want to like really just enjoy what I have because there's been so many times in life, like I mentioned, like getting married in my 20s and like thinking like, I don't know, spending most of my young life and young adult life really wanting that and then getting it and then being like, oh shit, maybe I want something else. Like, I get that's a part of life. But at the same time, like, I want to savor the things that like I have currently. So I think I'm really just trying to focus on getting that to become like a well-oiled machine. And 3 days a week, I'll be open. People can sign up for portraits online to come into the studio and get a session. And then the rest of the week, I'm either just doing admin stuff or just like traveling or like, I don't know, just relaxing maybe. Yeah, like, I guess that's like my current goal. But in an ideal world, I, 5 or 10 years from now, have done well enough that I like just buy a whole building. Like, have you seen like David Cho? Like, have you seen any of his like YouTube stuff with his, I don't know if he still has it, but like he had this big compound in Los Angeles, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where, and like he's done so many like creative videos there. And I don't know, that's like so cool to me. But again, it's that thing of sometimes you get something and then you're like, oh, I don't actually want this, or like, this is too much. So who knows? I think I'm just trying to be content with this big life change.
Okay. Well, you did good explaining it all. And yeah. I think I know where we're at now. I will say it sounds very validating, I think is the word that we could use.
Yeah.
Getting that new studio is validating for you, just to, it gives you and other people like that stamp of approval, like, yo, I am this professional photographer totally. That I say I am. Yeah. I'm not just in a garage. Not that there's nothing wrong with being in a garage. Yeah. I mean, I can't say that, but I'm literally in my mother's basement. One day I will have, I hope, that is my goal, is to have a little building where I can literally be like, I'm going to do a podcast episode today.
Yeah.
Credit, I might not have a guest there. It's going to be remotely, but I will be in a single building that I can see. And that will be super validating. So I can only imagine how it feels. But for you, David, I mean, it sounds like
Hold on a second. I realized I had my laptop plugged in, but I didn't have the wall cord. I didn't have the extension cord plugged in. Hold on a second. Hold, please.
Go ahead. Do you guys, okay, so while David's not here, I will explain. My man was about to have his laptop die on us because he plugged it in, but did not plug it into the wall. What a David moment. Right. Okay, we have him back.
We're back.
Okay, cool.
I even plugged it in before. I literally plugged in my charger into the extension cord and was like, laptop's not going to die, I'm good. And then I saw it blinking and I was like, no.
And he's like, no, I can't tell you how many times I've done that with my iPad and my phone. I've plugged it in and then I'd be like, okay, I'll wake up and I'll be like, why is my phone not charged? And then I'll look down and it's not in the wall. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's on me. But I did want to ask you, so it sounds like you got into photography a little bit later in life. I'm very curious, was a photographer something you always wanted to be, or did a younger David have visions of being something else? Like, did you want to be a veterinarian? Did you want to be a doctor? Or did you want to do photography from a young age? Or was it different? Let us know.
Yeah, so that's a good question. As a little kid, I wanted to be everything imaginable. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I also thought I was going to be a pastor at one point, which is crazy. My mom brought this up the other day. I don't think that's necessarily in the cards for me now, but hey, you know, God works in mysterious ways, as they say. But yeah, I think just wild. I'd kind of forgotten about that until my mom, said that to me the other day and I was like, damn, you're right. I was like, sorry, Lord. But yeah, when I've always been interested in art and creativity and music, and even like spirituality, honestly, like you could say even like Christianity, or like wanting like to be a pastor it's a spiritual thing. So yeah, I've wanted to be a million things. In high school, I got into writing. There was an author named Donald Miller, who's primarily like a Christian author who wrote like memoirs, just about his experience in life. And he wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz. And then he wrote another book called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. And as a kid, those were like some of the most like creative stories I had read. And I just wanted to write. So I ended up going to school for my associate's degree, primarily focusing on creative writing. And then at the same time, like got into photography. Like I had five or so friends who were all professional photographers. And three of them were my roommates. And so I was just like kind of surrounded by it. At the same time, I was really interested in art, but I don't actually know that I really knew that I would become a photographer. I think it was just kind of like I got a camera and then I realized through my friends that you could do it professionally. And I just started to do it little by little. And over a couple years, I was like, man, this is all I want to do. So the short answer is no. I didn't know that that is what I would become.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get to. So
yeah.
Now my question is, because it's a random question, but it's been on my head. You obviously know your photography. I'm assuming you know your cameras. Is there like a grail camera that you're like, man, if I could have one camera, maybe it's too expensive. Maybe they don't make it no more. Maybe it's just not around as maybe it's rare. So for example, I'm not a camera guy, but the one really famous camera that I know of is that damn Contax.
Oh, yeah. The one that Drake used.
Oh, did he use it? Oh, what a guy.
I think so. Yeah, this is like years ago.
What a guy. What a great guy. But yeah. It's like every celebrity, Tyler, the Creator, Frank Ocean, they all carry that Contax.
Yeah, those guys are the reason it's expensive now.
Exactly. Yeah, it might not even be a good camera for all I know. I just know that. But is there a grail camera for you? Or what is it?
I think I avoided it for a long time, but like, I really just would like a Leica. I think in part because like, that's what so many like established photographers, like wealthier people ended up using. And it's like, they've been around. I mean, I think I could be off of my time. I feel like somewhere between the 20s and the 50s, which is a wide range, but they've been around for a long time. And yeah, like those are just so cool cameras to me. Like so many people that do like such big things and are such like prolific photographers seem to use those, but the body is like $6,000 for a decent one, which is like nuts. I don't have $6,000. But and if I did, I would probably just like pay off debt and not buy a camera. Like I think one of those would be super cool. Would I probably just use it a handful of times, or maybe, or would I end up like absolutely loving it? I don't know. But it's like one of those things that I always see, like when I go to the camera store, or that like people talk about as it just being like this kind of grail thing. So I think that would be it. I think the Leica M6 would be pretty rad. That's a pretty popular one, but like I said, it's like $6,000 for a body.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty absurd. I knew that.
That doesn't include the lens.
Exactly. I knew photography was like really high dollar. I'll never forget. Like, I really love photography. I really wanted to get into it. And I started looking at cameras, and then my friends was like, yeah, and then wait till you see the lenses. And I was like, I thought that came with the camera. They were like, oh, buddy, you got a lot to learn. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't, because I'm not going to get into it because I'm not doing it. I don't have the money. Yeah. But it's so really funny. Cool because, like you said, I've seen the celebrities make the Contax really popular. And it's a whole nother world that I'm very unfamiliar with. Of course, I'm more of a shoe and clothing guy. So if people were talking about that or asking me grills and that, yeah, I'd be super familiar. But when people start talking about cameras and other stuff, it's really intriguing to me. But yet I do not know enough. Another question I had for you, though, was being a photographer, there's plenty of them out there. There's a lot of great ones that people know, a lot of great ones that don't get recognition. Who are some photographers or just artists, creators in general that you enjoy and that you have drawn inspiration from, if any at all? I didn't know if anybody inspired you, if anybody, you know, you were like, damn, that's a really good artist. But, you know, is there anybody for you that you really enjoy or draw inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest right now in just the last couple of years is probably David Cho. I just showed, I mean, I just showed my mom the Cho Show the other day, which is only like 4 or 5 episodes. But yeah, we watched a whole episode with Steve-O, and my girlfriend and I have watched it. And yeah, he's probably one of my all-time favorite artists ever. Like, if I met him, I would lose my mind. But I also feel like I would meet him and it would be very anticlimactic. yeah, I love David Cho a ton. Like, it's been super cool to see what he's accomplished, and his story is really cool. I know up until a couple years ago, he's the highest paid living artist. He still hasn't sold a piece of art in over 10 years because he is so successful that he was like, I don't even need to sell anything. Like, it literally doesn't make sense for me to even try and sell anything. Like, I don't need the money. yeah, that's wild to me. I love Beeple. Not even so much his art as much as just like what he represents of like selling a $69 million art piece and spending 16 years on his everydays before that. Like, that's been hugely inspiring to me. Like, I now have an everyday project, and yeah, like, there's so many cool artists. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, one of my favorite things is the International Center for Photography in New York. It's in Manhattan, I believe. It's right on the edge of Chinatown. Every couple months, they do new exhibits with photographers from literally all around the world. It's a 3-story building, and they always have like super famous photographers and then like no name photographers. And they literally collect submissions from around the world. And like, I get their newsletters a lot and like absolutely love that. Yeah, I could honestly keep going, but those are some things right off the bat and people that really stick out to me.
No, big shout out to them. And I greatly appreciate it. I'm always curious to know who other people find interest in or who they have looked at through the past and drawn inspiration from. Now, I did want to highlight the fact that I met you in Web3. And as most people know, this podcast came originally from Web3. And I've tried so hard to now get out of that niche bubble. But I did, however, meet you in Web3 and online. And it's been a great friendship. But I'm so curious to know, how did you find Web3? And I want to know about your journey there, because you also are someone over in Web3 as well. So yeah, talk to me about how you stumbled across that and how that first was for you.
Yeah, so it all started at a Macy's in somewhere in Chicago during a Christmas or Thanksgiving break. I randomly just ran into someone that I knew in Orlando from church. And he was there with his family in this Macy's. After that, he ended up like hiring me to do portraits for his company in Chicago. And then we just kind of kept in touch. And then one day he just messaged me out of the blue and said, "Hey, how long would it take you to do 10,000 headshots?" And I thought it was a joke. And just responded like, "Hey, is this a typo?" And he was like, "No, not a typo at all. Like, let me tell you what I'm doing." So he told me how he had gotten to Web3 and how he, knew about this thing called CryptoPunks. This is in 2021. I believe CryptoPunks started in 2017. And so it was still a fairly new thing at that point. And he was like, "I think that photography is about to really pop off in the Web3 space." I didn't even know what Web3 was or really what an NFT was or a CryptoPunk. And he was like, CryptoPunks are 10,000 pixelated images that have been created by an algorithm of like pixelated punks. And he was like, "They're selling for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I want to imagine what it would be like if they came into real life and took a real form." So basically, they kind of like hired me to collaborate with them on making 1,000 different CryptoPunks in real life form. And we, yeah, made 1,000 of these, and we kept the traits exactly the same. We hired a modeling agency and had real models come in, and we brought in effects artists and makeup artists to do this whole entire punk portrait campaign, or not campaign, like series. And Yeah, that was my exposure into Web3. I still really had no clue about NFTs. Like, even as it was starting, I didn't know anything about that stuff. And yeah, it did really well. We sold out of the collection. We dropped it in three parts. Like I said, it was 1,000 different images. They were all one-of-one images. And it took us over 100 hours to just shoot alone. That doesn't include editing or the pre-production stuff or anything like that. And yeah, then from there, I just started kind of just screwing around on Twitter. Like, I saw how much momentum that project had had, and I was like, man, there's something here. In what world can you just sell 1,000 photos over the course of a couple months? And so I just kind of kept just like building things, just showing up in spaces, kind of goofing around. I didn't mint a ton of work at first, but then, yeah, I came across Beeple, he was doing this one-a-day project, like I mentioned earlier, and for 16 years, he had made a drawing a day or an illustration a day, and I was like, man, no one's really done that in photography. Like, what if I did that? And so, yeah, every year, every day for a year, I made a photo on my cell phone and I minted it out and gave it away for free. And now I'm on my second year of doing that. This time around, I am charging for it and it's a little bit different. I'm taking photos on my camera, but every day, rain or shine, for 67 days now, I have gone out and made an image and then listed it on the blockchain as an NFT. And it's been super cool. That's how I know you. We're a part of a project called Booze Crew, and our friend Kips, who's the founder, host a weekly space where we interview different Web3 artists about their stories. And we've done a little over 66 episodes now, which is really crazy. There's so much more to that, but that is the shortest version I could say about my intro to Web3.
No, man, I really appreciate it, because I knew that you had came in, you have always had a passion for anything that you do. So I knew that the Punk Portraits was a really cool project. And anyone listening in, I highly, highly, highly encourage you, as always, go check out what David has done and what he is still currently doing. The Punk Portraits, of course, NFTs are a wild time now, but if you always want to support David, go look at what he's dropping. Of course, you can always find him on Twitter, where I drop these episodes mainly. I usually always tag my guest and everything like that, but definitely go check him out. Go check out him and Kips, because they do have a weekly spaces. I love going on there, hearing them. They have amazing guests on there, just like how Sit Down with Sniper has guests. So if you want to learn something about some people, definitely check out theirs. I host a fucking spaces with Kips. Kips was just on like 2 weeks ago. I got to stop showing this guy so much love, dude. Just going to start pumping up his head. He's going to think he's special. He's an okay guy. All right. He's on Kips is mid okay. Best. Yeah. Mid it best, if we're being honest. He's a great guy. He does a lot of good work, but I can't be giving him all this love. But David, I really appreciate it. We still have a little bit longer to go, because I still have the five questions for you. But before we jump over to the five questions, I do kind of want to ask you, what is next for you? Like, do you have anything planned? Is there anything that you're wanting to do this year? Or, you know, are you just laying back? I know you said that you're doing still currently the photos every day. Again, for those listening, go check those out as well. Go pick you up one. But beyond that, what else are you trying to do this year? What are your goals, or like, what is it that you want to
do? Yeah. That's a never ending work in progress. But so yeah, there's a lot of things I want to do, but every year I go into the year with some form of intention in a single word. And this year my, word was focus. Yeah, I didn't really know what that would entail or mean exactly. And that's kind of a whole conversation in itself. But Yeah, I've notoriously just kind of been all over the place, which is, that's just who I am. Like, if an idea comes into my brain, I'll try and do it. But I'm trying to be a bit more focused this year and not do so many things. So my big thing is really just getting my studio rolling, getting it going to where I kind of said earlier, people are just coming in consistently to get portraits. So that's a physical space that I have. People can get portraits of all different varieties. Like I do just like individual portraits for people who need photos for their websites. I do family photos. I do couples sessions and boudoir type images. So those are like my four focuses for my studio. And my goal is to just really get that flowing to where kind of effortlessly people are just signing up every week. And it starts just going by itself. Beyond that, I'm continuing on my photo a day project. I've kind of meshed, even though that's an NFT based thing, I've tried to really mesh that into my day-to-day life and world of like my everyday photography work. So I share that on Instagram. Next Saturday, I'm going to be having a grand opening for my studio, and I'm printing out all of the images that I have made for my photo a day series, and I'm going to be hanging them up. I'll be selling the prints and then maybe also linking to the NFT version. But again, that can get kind of complicated. So those are really two of my biggest focuses. And then I think once the studio gets really dialed in, I want to do a TV show or like a YouTube series or something kind of similar, very similar to the Cho Show, honestly, like based around just sitting down and having a conversation with someone, incorporating art. Like we both draw each other and like really just dive into the person's story and even like do some kind of like silly comical like acting. Like I want to like have someone like explain their like childhood trauma, and then like I pretend to be like their mom or dad or whoever like the person is like in that story, and like we act it out in my studio, and it just kind of like ebbs and flows with the context of their story. So it's like real, but there's also like this like comical humor to it, because it's like me and like the subject of like the interview acting it out as adults. So that's like an idea that I really can't get away from. But I feel like, again, like I said, my word for this year is just to focus, or is focus. So I'm just trying to focus on getting my studio up and running and focus on my 365 project and then go from there.
Hell yeah, man. And again, congratulations on the new studio. I know it's a big thing. So definitely just relax for the year. Do what you can, because I feel like you start worrying about too much, it's definitely going to get overwhelming.
Yeah.
Might start not appreciating what you do have, so on and so forth.
Totally.
Who knows? But yeah, big congratulations on the studio. And I'm definitely wishing you the best with your 365 project. Before
366, because it was a leap year this year. I didn't realize till like 2 weeks in, and then someone messaged me on Instagram and they're like, yo, you know, there's 366 days this year. And I was like, what? I just thought it was kind of funny, but sorry, go ahead.
That is a great point. And I have Dexter joining us. But so the thing is, before we jump over to the five questions, I always like to ask, is there anything that I did not ask you that you wish I would have, or anything that I did not give you the opportunity to talk about? If so, the floor is all yours. And if not, we can jump over to the five questions.
Can we just take a screen capture with Dexter real quick?
Yeah, for sure, buddy.
All right, hold on a second here. Face him towards me if you can.
That's probably the best you're going to get right there.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Woohoo! Amazing. That's incredible. I don't think so. I'm just like, I think as much as what I would want to say is just keep going. Like you personally, Sniper, or anyone who's listening to this, or who comes across this podcast, if you're working on something, just keep at it. The days tend to get discouraging, I think. And some days you can feel like you're talking to a wall. Really just keep at it. Like I was getting mad discouraged with my 366 project and literally had a stranger in Japan, buy two of my pieces the other day, at like the highest that I'd had a sale yet. And it just came out of nowhere. Like they found me through Punk Portraits, weren't even on like planning on buying one. And I was like literally out of money like the day before. and was like, I was like hitting up friends to like try and sell a piece of work on like on the cheap to get like money to keep the 366 project going. And yeah, like literally just like went to sleep and this random stranger in Japan like bought like $400 worth of art. And that's like kept me alive this past week, like with keeping on the project. And I don't know, it was just a testament of like, do not worry. Like obviously you're going to worry because you're a human. And like, I even say that like still in part being like, ah, shit, like I'm getting low again. I hope someone buys something, but like, it's like, yo, don't worry. Like you're taken care of, like, it's okay. Keep going with whatever you're working on. And like, you might have to change course. You might hit a few bumps, but like, it's going to work out. So that's what I would add, honestly.
No, I think it's a good addition because I've been there many a times where I've either wanted to give up, but I'm a firm believer of if you feel like what you're doing is true and you really believe in something, to keep at it. And so, yeah, I really do appreciate that addition. I have Dexter over here licking the hell out of my hand where he freaking scratched me, freaking nutcase. Dude. But it's crazy, bro. This cat is a maniac. Now he's all up in
my cat is the same. I think it's just cats in general. Like she'll literally come up and sit on me and like start like snuggling me and then all of a sudden just start attacking the shit out of me. And I'm like, what are you like? I'm like shaking the cat. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, this dude's trying to lay on the keyboard and stuff, trying to end
the... Yeah, okay. That was my cat earlier.
Good Lord. Okay, so my five questions for you, brother. Number one is, what is one thing you've always wanted to own? Regardless
always. The topic.
Yeah. One thing that you've always like, damn, it could be a toy from when you were a kid. But what's one thing you've always wanted to own?
I don't think I would actually be able to skate it without hurting myself, but I would love to like just like have like a space big enough to have a half pipe inside.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be able to skate it because I would wreck myself. But like even so it would be like very like I don't want to say frivolous, but like I don't know. I'd have to like just invite my friends to come and skate on it or just like push around in the bottom and never really drop in. But yeah, it would be rad to have a warehouse with a little half pipe or own my own like office building where it's not even that tall, but I could still, because I own it, like build a very small like quarter pipe or something that I could just like skate around in randomly. Like that would be so sick. So I think like, honestly, that would be the first thing. Like I loved watching like Jackass or like Viva La Bam, where like he would just like build a freaking skate park like in his house or apartment. Like both him and Steve-O did that. Like that was so sick. So yeah, that would definitely, that would be just something, but I have to like really make it. I'd have to like have like bills paid for like months and years, and like my family would have to be taken care of. But yeah, that'd be sick.
Just a mini fantasy factory somewhere. That was always one of my favorite shows. I swear. I always wanted that place. My number two question would be, if you could be any animal, what would it be?
Oh dude, a giraffe, man. Giraffes are so sick.
The giraffe.
Yeah, because they're beautiful and majestic and they seem like, I mean, they seem like pretty gentle creatures, but like also at the same time, like
you ever seen them fight?
Did giraffes fight?
Yeah, they fight with their necks. Seriously, they swing their necks. They fight with their necks. For real.
That's really funny. Yeah, I guess my thinking is like they're beautiful and they can like they're so tall up that they can see what's coming. Like in my head, at least, like. They can just look out into the savannah and just see so much of the world. And I'm just like, damn, like, that's so sick. Yeah, so I'd probably be a giraffe. And I think they can run pretty fast, too. But I could be wrong.
I think they are kind of fast. But yeah, they're interesting animals. Whenever we get off of here, you'll have to look at giraffes going at fighting. It. Because, dude, it's crazy because they fight with their necks. And it's absolutely insane. I've never seen
anything like that.
Oh, my God. Trust me.
That's now, amazing.
Now I want to know, number three is, what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is probably Forrest Gump. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it in like 10 years, so maybe my answer would be different now. But I just love how like long it is and how like he just meshes into so many parts of society without even knowing. And yeah, like, I don't know. I want to live like that and do a million things and just like touch all these different like edges of the earth. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just think it's so comical to just run into so many things. Like, he's like, I invested in a fruit company. And then, like, you see that it's Apple. And, like, he has no idea. Like, that's incredible. And then I like Napoleon Dynamite a lot. I just watched that the other day for the first time in, like, 10 years or something. And it's a great film. It's just so silly. But it's, like, beautiful and, like, very human feeling. So yeah, those are probably my two favorites.
Napoleon Dynamite is definitely a great one. I can't lie. One of my favorites. Okay. First one I didn't expect, Napoleon Dynamite. I haven't even heard of that in a while, so that one kind of caught me off guard. But now that you mention it, probably up there for one of my favorites. Dexter, if you don't relax, look at you over here knocking stuff down.
Dexter's losing it, bro.
Dude, he's going crazy right now. He just wants to be pet. Number four would be, what is something that someone may not know about you? Or what is something that nobody knows about you?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, at least they know me now, realize, like, how religious I used to be. Like, I was just like, I prayed every day. Like, I like was super involved in a church. Like, that used to be such a big part of my life. And like, I don't know that, like, I don't want to say anyone would see that like in me now. I think maybe people still do, but yeah, I don't know. I think it would surprise people in some ways, like just how different, like, I think my life and just like overall grounding as a human probably used to be compared to how it is now. So I think that's a big one.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I didn't really expect it. So it's definitely something that caught me off guard, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I almost became a missionary once. Like, I was support raising to be like a missionary. Yeah, like, that's pretty crazy. I don't talk about that very often. Yeah, like, that's wild to me, honestly. Like, yeah, like, I was, like, a faith-based missionary, basically.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like that, man.
Yeah. That's dope. I interned at a church for a year one time. Yeah, like, that used to just be, like, a huge part of my life. And, like, it's just really interesting. I'd say I'm probably on the opposite end in many ways now. So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
I like that. Like I said, I had no clue. Definitely caught me off guard. I will say for the last and to finally wrap it up, how much money is a life-changing amount to you?
Whew. Dang. You know, that's interesting. I don't know. I'm like, how do you define life changing? Or do you not give me any context?
Okay. Yeah, you define life changing. So you let me know.
Like, you want a physical number?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say
life changing for you.
I feel kind of bad saying this, but I would say $20 or $30 million.
You can't feel bad saying it because like everybody's gonna have a different number, and I'll let you know right now my number would be higher than that. So
I would say $20 or $30 million. Because I think that I wouldn't stop working. I would just like kind of help it. I would almost use it to help me like up level all the things that I'm working on and just like, I'd be set. I'd make it so that like I was set for the rest of my life and just kind of have it like, yeah, just be an amplification, I think, of the things that I'm already doing. Not that you couldn't do that for less, but I don't know. That seems like an amount of money that I could like really do a whole like life-changing amount of things with, but still like have some room to grow. Even though I realize that that's a shit ton of money, but yeah, that's what pops into my head. Yeah. What would your number be?
Oh, dude, mine would have to be in at least 100 million.
Damn. That's crazy. Now I feel like, I think that like, it's easy to say that, but like, I realize, again, maybe I'm off my rocker, but I realize that there's still a huge gap or like disparity between like 20 million and 100 million. And I'm like, that would still give me like, I'd be like cushioned and like set, but that would still give me room to like work on like to something even bigger. Whereas if I got like 100 million or something, I'd just be like, I don't know. I don't think I'd feel as much of a drive, which feels crazy. Like, I feel like if someone just heard that on the street, they'd be like, yo, $20 million? Are you out of your mind? But for me, there would still be room to grow. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely respect that answer. And I would just for the people listening, just believe this. I would be happy with $20 million too.
If you're willing to give it to me. But I'd be happy with $20,000 right now. Like, that'd pay off a lot of my debt.
Hey, like, I'd be happy with $20.
Yeah.
At this point,
like, buy me lunch.
Yeah. Just hand me a 20 and I'll be happy. But honestly, man, this is the end of the five questions. You've killed the whole podcast. Yeah. We're at the end, man. Before we go, the floor is all yours, man. If you have any closing words, I'm super appreciative to have you on here and to be able to share your story. So again, thank you and big congratulations on everything you've been doing. But if there's anything you want to say before we head out of here, man, the floor is all yours.
No, I think just be kind to yourself and others. Yeah, pet dogs and cats. Yeah, be nice to people. Life is very short and also long, but it's also short. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, just be kind to one another. I think those are my parting words. And, yeah, don't give up on whatever you're going after. Be okay with things changing, but if you really have a goal and a vision for something, just keep at it. It might take longer than you think, but keep at it.
That's... You heard it here from David first. Keep at it. Stay positive. Pet cats and dogs. And from me, I will tell you, I will tell you that, as always, the episode is powered by Transient Labs. And you need to check out sitdownwithsniper.com for all the merch needs. I have really cool socks. Hopefully can be bringing y'all some hats here soon. I have a really cool idea in the works. But I just want to say again, thank you, everybody that's been listening. Thank you, everyone that's been supporting. Been almost 3 years. And... I really don't have no plans on stopping anytime soon. Hopefully we can do it for another 3 plus 3 plus 3 times 3 more. So, but in all seriousness, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week. Peace out, everybody.